This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, petty cast time. There's got to be something you guys are petty about. Start sending them in. Sean, I think this is a text message. Sean, I think you might be a little overzealous there, thinking you're going to move up from 25 to 10 without giving up an extra first-round pick. Maybe. That's what it costs to move up to get Deshaun Watson. They moved up from 25 to 12, and it cost a first-round pick the next year. That was for a quarterback, and I know that was 7 years ago. Maybe the currency has changed since then. Maybe the exchange rate has changed since then. But maybe you can get it done with a 2 and a 3. Maybe I'm being overzealous. Maybe not. The thought process, as far as what the specific draft capital is, don't get too wrapped up in that. If they're thinking that way, I would be really encouraged. If they're thinking of going and finding a young guy they feel really good about who can help reset the tone in that room, because the tone is now resettable in that room. With Laremy Tunsil out of there.
What did you suggested?
I suggested just flipping the picks they got for Laremy, the three this year and the main picks, the three this year, yeah, and the two next year. And that may not be enough. Who knows, to move up that much? But maybe it is. Maybe you got to go a two this year and a three next year instead. Who knows?
Steelers, let's see. We'll figure out the conversation the next break.
Yeah, we'll do it. Petty cast time right now, though. So we do the petty cast every week at this time. What are you petty about? What are others around sports petty about? It turns out, Seth, you know, of all the stations that I listen to driving in that are sister stations of ours, I don't do it very often, but when I do, more often than not, it's been Cleveland. Because, one, I think Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima there, our colleagues there, do an excellent job. They have a great show. Two, it's very entertaining to listen to them when the Browns are just the dumpster fire that they are right now. And it's always a good reminder, too, that it wasn't all that long ago that we were having conversations like they were this morning, debating whether or not the Kenny Pickett trade was a good one yesterday. They traded DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
The open to their show today was Kenny Pickett in Cleveland. And
I'm trying to think, the way all of this runs through Pittsburgh with various, Kenny Pickett getting a first-round pick going to Cleveland, whereas meanwhile you got Justin Fields, who had been through Pittsburgh, a first-round pick who's been through Pittsburgh.
Played
Justin
in Ohio. Simmons. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Why do I keep saying Justin Simmons? Justin Fields. Yeah, now going to the Jets. Yeah.
The mood on that show is when they get to football, is very downtrodden right now. We've been there. I get it. I empathize with them. However, I don't think they like the fact that we're not in that morass anymore. Here was Ken Carmen. They're kind of going through all the moves yesterday, and they get to the Laremy Tunsil trade, and Ken Carmen said this.
We also had a trade for the Washington Commanders, sending four draft picks to the Texans for Pro Bowl tackle Laremy Tunsil, so a second big move for Washington.
So this is one of the underrated things, and part of this is bitterness, absolute bitterness, because I want to know what people thought about. I want receipts on what the fans and what the media in Houston thought of the McNairs and that organization before C.J. Stroud started being C.J. Stroud. Because they, when there is, I don't know how much Houston media you follow. I mean, we're both friends with Landry. Now I know Landry's in other places in Texas now. But man, it is, our culture's the best. We're nothing but tough guys. If you can't hack it here, I'm like, wait a minute. You guys had Jack Easterby. You guys had a preacher in charge of things. You wanted Nick Caserio fired. I kind of want to say that you lucked into C.J. Stroud because the Panthers are so inept that they didn't want to take C.J. Stroud. They just had to have Bryce Young there, which I guess any team could luck into it. But going, man, all of a sudden, like, they are like the West Point of the NFL. It's like, I know what your franchise has done. I know exactly what your franchise has done. And so with, like, Laremy Tunsil, I'm seeing these videos of these former Texans about how soft Laremy Tunsil is. Like, he's one of the elite pass protectors in the NFL.
Well, didn't the Texans
just fall off a tree?
Didn't the Texans have one of the worst offensive lines in football last year?
They did, but he was one of the best.
Right,
he was one of the best players. And it was somehow put on him that he made the rest of the offensive line soft, so that's why the offensive line wasn't good.
So, I mean, how does C.J. Stroud feel about
this? It doesn't compute to me. I mean, they get a bunch of picks. Maybe they'll knock it out of the park. But it's just amazing to me. It's like, oh, wait, the Houston Texans are the perfect franchise now all of a sudden. And yeah, I know. That part of that's bitterness. You know why.
Yeah, we know why.
Oh, boy. We have a high opinion of ourselves here, I guess. That's a boy, that doesn't feel the way I felt for much of the season about the offense. I don't... obviously, he's not talking specifically about us. Because they can't listen to our show.
Well, I think Ken sees. I go after Cleveland on social media sometimes when things like, you know, when things like having to overpay Myles Garrett to convince him to play for a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that. My response to them would be, yeah, we had Jack Easterby, and now we don't. We don't anymore. And yes, we went through a phase. Everybody goes through a phase. We went through a phase, and we're not proud of that phase. But we went through it, and we came out the other side. I don't think you can have a rant like that and ignore the name D'Amico Ryans. You know what I mean?
Right.
He didn't say D'Amico's name one time in that whole thing.
Yeah. No, and also everything he said about toughness and all that, I think that's true on the defensive side of the football. I think the Texans play a certain brand of football that they are unapologetically violent. And they are lunch pail swinging, hit you upside the head and under the chin and do all that on defense. Offense, you won't find a whole lot of Texans fans clamoring about how awesome the offense was this last year or how tough or how physical they are. They're the opposite of that.
Right.
So when it comes to wanting to mold the team in D'Amico Ryan's image, Laremy Tunsil was, not one of the best offensive tackles in football. This is what disgusts me the most, is the number of people that are willing to act like pass protection is all that it takes to be a good offensive tackle. He's a very, very good pass protector. He's not a good run blocker. He's a middling run blocker. And when it comes to trying to have a team in the image of the head coach, you can't have one of your highest paid guys be one of the guys who's the most finesse offensive tackles in the league. Amongst the good offensive tackles, he is the most finesse. He's got zero appetite for violence. So that in setting an example and setting a tone and trying to be more like the defensive side of the ball, the honestly shouldn't be allowed to look the defense in the eyes in the locker room.
I love that.
Because it's not even on the same caliber.
Nope.
It's not on the same level. So I would agree with him that, the Texans are a work in progress. They're not a model example of exactly what you want to be. I don't think anybody no Texans fans think that right this moment they're exactly what they need to be. Obviously, they need to be better.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than, you know what? You want to be like, you know, Texas before they got good again. University of Texas. Hey, we got all these 5-star recruits. Great. What are you doing with them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. They look great on paper. All right, but you haven't put together a football team.
Right.
You know, then now, all credit to them, they figured out ways to put together a good football team. But that's like this, it's not just about your PFF rating. Man, no. PFF has never done more damage to the delusional assessments of players than when people act like they're not just looking at Pro Football Focus grades, they're exclusively looking at pass protection grades and ignoring all the rest
all
of
the
it.
All that goes with being an O-lineman, I'm with you. All right, so PettyCast, Cleveland, Ken Carman, very petty towards you, the Houston Texan fan right now, and the organization as a whole. The next petty here is really, I don't know if I'm even being petty. I don't know if Titus is being petty. But Titus Howard, right after the Laremy Tunsil trade yesterday, posted on his Instagram stories, I'm sick right now with literal, like the crying, not the laughing crying, the crying emojis, the very sad tears streaming down the front of the yellow smiley face. I'm sick right now over the Laramie Tunsil trade. I will echo something Seth said earlier in the show when it comes to this post from Titus. Good. I hope you're sick. I hope you internalize what happened yesterday and take it either as a sign that you need to start stepping up and playing up to your contract, or you could be next. And if you know what? If Nick wants to keep cleaning things out, if he wants to keep doing some spring cleaning over there, and if somebody offers something for Titus today, cool, let's go. Yeah. There's plenty of guys out there, man, that can do what Titus does.
Honestly, that's where there's so many people pointing out, hey, no, Laramie was liked by his teammates. I don't care. What about, why on earth should I care if members of one of the softest offenses in the league like another guy in the locker room or off the field? Why do I care about their opinion? It matters nothing to me. If I got a bunch of badasses, if this was the San Francisco 49ers of the previous several years, not last year, or something, that were pointing to a guy as like, yeah, this is a guy that, and they're not even saying that. They're just saying they like Laramie. I don't care. Yeah. Why would I care? You're talking about an underperforming unit liking a guy in the locker room. That's not the same as leadership. That is not the same. That's voting the captain of the football team the class president, yeah, just because he's a good-looking and popular guy. It doesn't mean he actually should be the class president. Students, players, whomever else, theirs are not the opinion that matters when it comes to likability or a guy being a swell fella. The decision-makers on the team, the coaches and the personnel people and whomever else, don't feel like he's the right fit,
yeah,
to be a leader by example on that offense, which was a horrible offense in the second half of the season.
Who are the people on the daily beat for the Texans going to go to for their O-line propaganda now that Laramie's out of the building there?
Oh, I just can't wait for the tell-all expose. I wonder how long whoever writes the tell-all expose about the Texans, how long they sit on it and wait until after Laramie Tunsil's gone, feel like, oh, it's not, they won't figure out that Laramie Tunsil was my source on this.
I do wonder, you know, how much, you know, DJ Bieniemy had that piece, which was well sourced. It was a well written piece on ESPN a couple weeks ago about the demise of Bobby Slowik, with a bunch of quotes from nameless players in the building over there.
Yeah,
that I feel like 100% had to be offensive linemen, and probably you know who. I wonder how much that, as you pointed out several times today, and I agree with you, like, this is probably something that's been coming for a while now. It's just, you got to be opportunistic about moving Laramie Tunsil. You can't just do it to do it. But I do wonder, like, along the way, things like posting the autograph cleats after a 31-2 loss. Anonymous offensive lineman says this or this about how we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what our identity was out there. Like, it's all the little, what do we call them, Seth? Microaggressions? It's all those little things like that that eventually arrive at you trading him for a bunch of draft picks. All right, Pettycast, couple more here. The Max, this is me being petty now. Max Crosby saying, I need to be on a winner. And then the Raiders are like, here's $35.5 million a year. I guess I don't need to be on a winner. Miles Garrett, I need to be on a winner. Here's $40 million a year. All right, I guess I'll be on a crappy team. And even DK Metcalf, I must be somewhere warm with a good quarterback. Well, this team will pay you $33 million a year. Fine, I'll get a coat and play with whoever Pittsburgh decides to put under center. Fine.
Yeah.
All these guys out there, and I get it, it's posturing. It's maybe it's even negotiating. If you truly felt that way, Miles Garrett, like, I must go play for a winner, and then they start waving the cash in front of your face, I lose a petty amount of respect for you. How's
it's,
that?
That's why I give Ken Carmen a little bit of a pass on how he's lashing out at Houston right now.
Yeah.
You got to feel, if you're a Browns fan, like, this is just one more bad insult to it.
Yeah.
You almost looked at, because I think a lot of people in Cleveland probably said, yeah, look, even Miles Garrett, he just wants to go win a Super Bowl. He's showing you how bad the organization is. And they kind of side with Miles Garrett. They get it. They understand it. And then it turns out, oh, No, he's actually no different than anybody else. He's just angling for more money.
Yep.
I can't even point to him as an example of the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Browns.
No.
He's just, it's one more dysfunctional thing or a lie that I've been told added to the mix. Yeah.
One more here. Kyle Tucker did an interview at spring training with the Cubs. And here's what he had to say about Cubs fans.
I mean, it's a little different. Obviously, I spent my whole career up to this point with the Astros. But, I mean, like I said, you know, pretty much right when I got traded over here, I don't think I could have gone to a much better organization than the Cubs. I mean, the fan base here is, you know, second to none. And, you know, the teammates and, you know, front office, coaching staff, everyone that I've talked to and met so far have been, you know, amazing.
Oh, okay. This is the PettyCast. Oh, they're second to none, eh? The Cubs fans, who, by the way, you haven't even really experienced yet. You've been in Arizona at spring training with the most diehard of diehards that are going to travel there to go see you and cheer you on, and you've done nothing. Yeah. Although I say you've done nothing to get in their bad graces or whatever, but he did start 0 for 20. Finally hit a home run. Started 0 for 20 in spring training, Kyle Tucker did for the
Cubs.
That'd
be a shame. That'd be a shame if you went all Chandler Parsons on
this. The petty part of me. All right, who would you rather? It's kind of a loaded question because Alex Bregman factors in more to the Astros because they play in the American League.
Yeah.
But just based purely on the player, forget about this, what it means to the standings. Are you rooting for either of them to fail? And if so, who are you rooting more so to fail?
I'm not rooting for either of them to fail, but if I had to, it would take me 3 milliseconds to choose Kyle Tucker. I think that Alex Bregman deeply, deeply, deeply cares about baseball.
Yeah.
And it's been very obvious. It's been painful seeing some of these stories after the fact about ways that he helped out various players for the Astros. I respect the way Alex Bregman approaches the game. Whereas Kyle Tucker is a guy who, as a young player at least, had to have a talking to by A.J. Hinch to show the same level of urgency as the other Astros on the team.
Yeah.
His defense has fallen off in the last couple years. He's just not the complete and total everything you want in terms of the drive the way that Alex Bregman is. I mean, Bregman gets frustrating, but it's never for a lack of caring or want to or anything. So, yeah, if I had to choose, 100% Kyle Tucker.
The only thing that would make me choose Bregman is I think the reaction in Boston to that Bregman contract being a lemon would be fascinating to why I don't even care about the standings and things like that. And look, the Astros are going to their path to the playoffs are going to be winning their division. So I'm not as worried about the overall AL standings. I'm hoping the Astros win 90 games this year. The reaction in Boston, if that Alex Bregman contract is bad, is, oh man, that could be delightful.
But think of this, the reaction, if Cam Smith continues on his trajectory,
now that's a great point.
If Cam
Seth.
Smith continues on his trajectory and it turns out that the Cubs get nothing out of a 1-year rental, that would be epic, Sean.
Okay.
That would be epic.
Okay, I changed my mind. You sold me. That's better. That's better. I like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday here. Man, busy Tuesday. We're rolling along. C.J. Stroud talking about Laremy Tunsil on the Pivot podcast last year. We're looking at all the signs that this trade should have been coming down the pipe a whole lot longer than it did. This might have been one of the biggest ones, and we'll relive that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, one thing you don't have to worry about anymore, Laremy Tunsil making an impression on impressionable young players. This was C.J. Stroud after his first season as a Texan. So this is about a year ago. Did the Pivot podcast. This was back during podcast season for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah,
podcast SZN, when he was doing every podcast under the sun. Not doing that this year, which I love seeing. Not good for content, but I think good for football in the fall. Here was C.J. talking about Laremy Tunsil a year ago.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, he not doing an extra practice. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's what all the young offensive linemen want to be sure that they see. And you know, and the big thing, too, is it's not like Laremy Tunsil is an old player. He's been like that since he was 27 years old or 26 years old. Yeah. Like, that's not, that's his mode of operation. So the sum total of it all is that, yeah, there are a lot of things about Laramie, including his style of play on the field, that you don't want young players emulating. And I'm not talking about the pass protection side. He was a really, really good pass protector, but there's zero part of his game that is brutally physical or aggressive or anything like that. And he's a reluctant and middling run blocker that is just not the same as a guy like Penei Sewell or Trent Williams or some of the guys who are the gold standards of what you want an offensive lineman to be. And yet, he is, every couple of years, he ends up being the highest paid offensive lineman in the league.
Yeah.
There's just a, there's a culture shift that has nothing to do about whether he was liked in the locker room or not. I mean, you don't conflate locker room likability with genuine leadership. They're not the same thing.
No.
At all. A lot of times the most likable guys on a football team are not your best leaders as football players. So it makes a lot of sense. And it's hard, I think, for people to understand it if they're outside of Houston, partly because they didn't have to live through a guy who is one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the football, but commits false starts at a rate 3 to 4 times more than the genuinely all-pro offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Like, which is, and like, make no bones about it, there's no excuse for the false starts when you have them to that level, because the only explanation for it is pure selfishness. It's putting your particular rep, you not wanting, you know what happens when you false start? You don't get a check minus for pass protection.
Because
there's no play.
About, yeah.
So as long as you're, if you're pushing the envelope all the time, it doesn't hurt your grade as a pass protector at all. It gives you a false start. It might hurt your overall grade, but as a pass protector, you still get to have people that you feed information to talk to you about how you're the best pass protector in the league, or one of the best pass protectors in the league. It's selfish. It's incredibly selfish when it happens year after year after year. He is perennially one of the worst defenders when it comes to false starts. So I think there are people around the league asking, what are the Texans doing? How could they do this? And in Houston, by and large, at least, 87% of the people that responded to your poll think that this was a smart move and a good move.
Yes.
Because, yes, great. He was a great pass protector on an offensive line that couldn't pass protect. All right. If you had an average pass protector out there, they wouldn't be that much worse. the pressure came from up the middle.
Yep. To back up Seth's point here, I'll just use one expert as an example of what, outside of Houston, I was seeing and reading and hearing a lot of yesterday. Here was Dan Orlovsky, who's on the set on ESPN as the trade is getting made. So this is from NFL Live yesterday afternoon, moments after the deal was made.
Fantastic move by Washington. I'm very confused by Houston right now with this.
It's weird.
Because the one thing that went poorly for them last year was their offensive line. Mm. They're trading away their best offensive lineman. So you're taking what was your weakness last year and making it weaker. And that's my concern. I love it for Washington, but if you're CJ Stroud, you're going into year three and you got your butt kicked last year by pressure. I'm very confused by this move by Houston.
This is
Dan. Yeah. Dan, what helps as a quarterback? I know you know this. Is it good to continually be in 2nd and 11 and 3rd and 15?
Right.
Is it good for pass protection or the passing game in general when you cannot run the ball at all? I'm not overly emphasizing the run game in the modern NFL, but when you can't run the ball at all, including when you have Joe Mixon playing pretty well, it doesn't help your pass protection out.
Yeah.
And that Laramie Tunsil offered you very, very little in terms of run blocking, not to mention the times he ended up in 3rd and long and 2nd and long because of his false starts.
Yeah, that's a like very much a box score level opinion. And to me, is just people like best pass blocker on the team, one of the best according to the advanced stats or PFF and whatever in the league. And Texans got rid of him, and they were bad at protecting the quarterback. It surprises me that Dan and others have that opinion, because the Texans did not operate nearly as much off the grid this year as they did in 2023 in CJ's first year, where every game was noon on Sunday. Literally, every game was noon on Sunday until week 18. Yeah. And they're one of six games, and you can understand it if the Texans aren't one of those games that Dan Orlovsky doesn't go back and watch from beginning to end, and you just don't get that they're in 2nd and 11 and 3rd and 15 all the time, because they're ineffective at running the football, aside from Joe Mixon putting a cape on, half the games throughout the year this year. It really does feel like one of those things, like, man, if you're in Houston, you just know. That's why 88% of the people in that poll I put up are happy that they made this trade. And there's nobody, virtually nobody, talking about what they got in the trade. You know, I think if you had asked somebody, say, like a year ago, they're going to trade Laremy Tunsil, and if you told them you weren't going to get a first-round pick for him, people would have been disappointed just because he's got that level of marquee around the league. And you can, I suppose you can take a third and a second and add it together, and it probably has the same point value as a late first-round pick or something like that. But people have not said boo about the fact they haven't gotten a first-round pick. Which is wild. Like, the draft capital they got back is such a subtext to all this. It's so much more, Seth, it is so much more here about what's going out in this trade, not what's coming back in this trade.
Well, and going back to having to look at the complete and total picture. So Laremy Tunsil has never cared much for run blocking, doesn't care about false starts. You know, he cleaned it up in the second half of this season. Kudos to him. But think about how that sells out the younger offensive lineman on your team. When, if you're not all that engaged in wanting to be a good rushing offense, so you end up in 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10 because you can't run the ball. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt Laremy Tunsil that much.
No.
It puts a whole lot of stress on everybody else, though, that can't pass protect the same way Laremy Tunsil does.
Yep.
It's just the selfishness, honestly, that comes with that style of play and wanting to be a pass protection specialist of all things, which seems like just a meager dream to have in life. It doesn't do anything for the offense as a whole. And it was a soft offense last year. One of your highest paid guys and one of your best players on the sum total of it all on offense was not a guy that's going to improve that at all. He is a finesse football player. He's very, very good at finesse football, but that's not the type of winning football that D'Amico Ryans wants. He wants to have bullies out there, and there was no part of Laremy's game that was bully ball.
Okay, some names coming off the board this morning now. I'm looking and getting push notifications. You can cross Will Fries off the board for the Houston Texans. And this is pricey stuff, man.
Guard from the Colts.
Yeah, I was going to get there. Guard from the Colts. He's going to the Vikings. 5 years, $88 million Will Fries is getting. He cashes in $19 million, nearly $19 million a year. Or $18 million a year, I should say. 5 years, $88 million, $18 million a year. Top interior lineman off the board. The Vikings now, Seth, have signed Will Fries to 5 years, $88 million. Jonathan Allen, interior defensive lineman, who the Commanders cut last week. He's former Pro Bowler. 3 years, $60 million. I hadn't seen this. I don't know if this happened today or yesterday, but the Vikings also signed Ryan Kelly from the Colts, the center who's been with the Colts for a while now. 2 years, $18 million to Ryan Kelly. So I would imagine there's some Texan fans right now looking at what the Bears are doing on their offensive line, completely reshaping the interior of it, looking at what the Vikings did, signing the best guard on the market, along with a respectable center in Ryan Kelly. Aging, had some injuries, but I think it's a good signing, especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback back there, having a veteran center like that. Where Texan fans, even the ones who are excited about Laremy Tunsil getting traded, are like, okay, let's go. We need some offensive linemen here. You know,
I think this is the part that's not going to be appetizing, and I get it, and it's hard. It is that I really think that the Texans feel that Bobby Slowick was really the big and fundamental issue. But that there's things that they need to improve on the offensive line in terms of personnel as well, obviously. They got rid of Shaq Mason. They traded away Laremy Tunsil. Mm-hmm. But that a lot of the improvement for the offensive line in their minds has to come through a better offensive coordinator, better coaching in general, and players who might not necessarily be marquee top-tier talent physically, but who play as a unit on the offensive line, that play fundamentally sound football. That's the part of the equation that's going to be tougher to handle and believe in. And you got to sit and wait for 6 months to see if it actually works out.
Yep.
I think that there's a very good chance they draft an offensive lineman in the first round and people get excited about that. But the almost by necessity at this point, or by process of elimination, the offensive line free agents that you might sign aren't going to be anything that really get your juices flowing. You hope to get solid guys that are legitimate starters, especially at interior offensive line. There's still guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not going to be a – I don't – now, they could trade.
They could trade
for somebody, so we'll see.
Yep. The other big signing, just to touch on this real quick, there have been several this morning signings. The other big one, big name, Javon Holland, the safety from the Dolphins, widely viewed as one of the best remaining free agents on the market coming into today. He leaves Miami to go to the Giants. 3 years, $45.3 million. I'd seen some Texan fans out there looking to shop at safety. He's off the board. Justin Reed's still out there, though, best I can tell. So we'll see what happens. But Javon Holland gets $15 million a year to go play for the Giants. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. Let's go through that exercise. We'll circle back to the Texans and Tunsil at the top of the hour. But the list of remaining free agents, a few big ones, they're starting to fly off the board. So before more of them fly off the board, who do we want to plant our flag in, at least from the Texans having an interest in these guys from that standpoint? Also, a quick reminder, we're giving away rodeo tickets to see Cody Jenks in the 9 o'clock hour. So stay tuned here all day long. It's a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday on Sports Radio 610.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Pain and Pendergast. We'll circle back to the Laramie Tunsil trade at the top of the hour, man. You guys, a lot of people weighing in on this. Big deal. Laramie Tunsil to the Commanders for a bunch of draft picks. We'll talk about that. Remaining free agents, some of the big names coming off the board today. Jonathan Allen to the Vikings, Will Fries. Jonathan Allen, former defensive tackle with the Commanders, to the Vikings. Will Fries, now former Colts guard that a lot of Texan fans, I think probably in a perfect world with no salary cap, would love to have play guard for the Texans, but he gets a huge deal. Like, that is a... He's getting almost as much as Quentin Nelson, his former teammate, is getting to play guard. That's for a guard, man. That's 18, 19 million a year. It's pretty sweet.
There's some of the moves that have been made or some of the contracts that have been doled out. It's always a little bit shocking with some players, but this year it feels like there are more average caliber players getting pretty healthy contracts this year that are, I mean, why am I blanking on his name? The Texan safety that went to the Jaguars.
Eric Murray.
My goodness. It's been a rough morning. I think it's because I'm so amped up.
About the
I'm so amped
trade.
Up about the departure of Laramie Tunsil.
It definitely is what it is, yes.
Eric Murray got a really healthy deal to go to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
So, hey, they got that bright young GM, the wunderkind that loves buzzwords and whatnot. He's talking about his modes of operation his refining the ecosystem and everything else like that. This is a big part of it.
Behold, I present you Eric Murray. How much, Magnificent Gladstone? Only $7 million a year. I made him appear out of the thin air.
He might be the first GM that'll actually say the cap is a myth. Salary cap is a myth. It isn't real.
I'll make it disappear. Don't worry.
Just like David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear. I saw that in my youth. That was real, right? Anything is possible. If you believe in magic, all you have to do is believe.
I guess the biggest name that people around the league are watching today is probably Aaron Rodgers. Scuttlebutt.
Let's do this. Yeah. Come on, Aaron. Give me some action.
What do you think? Give me some of that sweet Rodgers action. What do you think about a marriage of Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin isn't the question I have. Mine is Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. Because Arthur Smith, he's not known as a guy that's got a high emotional intelligence quotient necessarily. He's just kind of just draw up these plays and you guys run them.
Mm-hmm.
Now do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done. Look, when he was in Tennessee, he did a great job so he's a great offensive coordinator in Tennessee.
Yeah.
As a head coach in Atlanta, it turned out that he was neither a good head coach nor a good offensive coordinator.
No.
So now the question is, all right, if he gets...
Bench Bijan Robinson.
If he can actually get the best out of Aaron Rodgers... The question with Aaron Rodgers is, man, he went to New York and had his hand-selected offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, who's never been a good offensive coordinator in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to have much of an appetite for modernizing his offense. So, like, Aaron Rodgers and what he wants is a lot of the stuff that, man, if it was your offensive coordinator doing it, you'd be up in arms. Like, where's the pre-snap motion? Why are we doing this way? If he goes to Pittsburgh, I think they can only do it with a nice, honest conversation between him and Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Rodgers is open to these types of things these days. You know, let's feel it out and just see what the universe brings us. It's got to be that. That's the real big question is. Because, it's got to be enticing. You got DK Metcalf. You got George Pickens. You want to throw the deep ball. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got to be the right fit.
Okay, let me throw a name at you that got released in the last 24 hours. Kyle Juszczyk, fullback from the 49ers. Anybody gets let go from the 49ers, you immediately, from the last 8 or 9 years, there's an immediate connection with D'Amico Ryans. They were at least in the building together. Juszczyk has been the gold standard for fullbacks. He's getting let go from the Niners just because they've got way too many expensive guys on the roster, and they're about to try to pay Brock Purdy here. We'll see if that ends up working out this offseason or not. We know that the Texans, at least in their previous iterations of offense, Seth, liked having a fullback-like creature on the field. It wasn't always a great fullback. It was Andrew Beck at times. It was Cade Stover at times last year. Kyle Juszczyk is a true grinder. He's a fullback who can make some plays out of the backfield, too.
Right. And he's, how old is he going to be this year? 32? 33?
I'll look it up.
I think that's the other big question about it. And I know you don't think of fullbacks as guys that need to be brilliantly athletic, but one of the reasons it worked with Juszczyk was because he was a guy who was a pass catcher as well. He could do a lot of things to still have some versatility on offense when he was on the field.
He's 33.
33.
Yeah.
He had a pretty defiant quote that I liked. I was a fan of. I don't have it on here. He basically said, like, check the tape. Check the last few games of the year. I was still playing really well.
He wants to play, man. He wants to play.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting if they brought him in. It doesn't move my needle a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I guess there's zero part of me that wants to be San Francisco Gulf Coast or 49ers Gulf Coast right now. So, if they did do it, it wouldn't be like Bobby Slowick trying to recreate the San Francisco offense.
Yeah.
It would be something that Nick Caley genuinely thought that Juszczyk could provide that the Texans don't have right now.
It feels like something that if Bobby Slowick were still the OC, I'd feel like it'd be almost a lock that he would be a Houston Texan after he got cut.
If only to help other guys kind of integrate into the offense or what have you.
Yeah, boy, this running back list is depressing. If you're a Texan fan who wants more juice from the running back room, the top guy on the board right now is Nick Chubb, who's a handful of knee surgeries into his career. J.K. Dobbins, Rico Dowdle. I think they're going to be drafting a running back. It's a deep, deep running back draft.
No, and I think they still, the running backs, even though they had a resurgence this year, the mindset is still going to be not that they're a dime a dozen or they're all the same, but that you can find diamonds in the rough more easily at that position, especially if you're talking about a backup, that you don't necessarily want to spend high draft capital when you already have your guy in Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
So the fourth or fifth round, perhaps, when you find a guy that's got certain traits, he's not a bell cow type, but I would be very much in the market for a guy that could be a receiver out of the backfield.
For sure. The wide receiver market, Stephon Diggs still out there. According to the list I'm looking at is Smart Football Analysis. Sharp Football Analysis. Yeah, Warren Sharp. There's a lot of former Texans in this wide receiver list. You got Diggs is number two available right now. Deontay Johnson is the number three, according to their website, the number three available wide receiver. Deontay Johnson, who couldn't get on the field for various teams this year, mostly for attitude reasons, I think, is my guess. But he's ahead of Keenan Allen and Elijah Moore and DeAndre Hopkins.
Did the Ravens, they re-signed him like at the end of the year.
Yes.
But basically, is this so they can get a compensatory pick?
Exactly
why. Because he played enough snaps. They're so good at that.
Yeah.
God, those bastards.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so good at that.
Yep.
The Ravens have. They've got the most compensatory picks of anybody in the league, right?
I'm just going to say yes because it feels like every year they do. Yeah. I feel like I'm right.
So they signed him knowing that he was going to become a free agent just so that when he becomes a free agent, he was on their roster.
Yeah.
And he had played enough snaps for them that they'll get some kind of they've got a chance at getting some kind of a compensatory pick.
They'll get like a sixth or a seventh for him, and they'll probably turn that into some guy who is aces on special teams for them for the next 4 years. You know,
unless he goes somewhere else and balls out, then it would be even more.
Deontay, so. Well,
it's a combination of how much they played for you and then how well they do elsewhere.
It's a combination of the contract they signed and how much they ball out. So if he goes somewhere and he's there, it's. For whatever reason, they're real secretive on this formula that they use to arrive at the compensatory.
It's like calculating war. It's not secretive, but it's complex enough that none of us really want to.
We don't really care. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Yeah. Well, we just dug into the offense. We'll look at some names on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive line in the 9 o'clock hour. But in case you're tuning in late here, this is what everybody's coming to the store for today: the Laremy Tunsil trade. I would say a bigger trade going out than even a bigger trade coming in. Maybe not the draft capital the same, but the message that it sends, particularly for D'Amico Ryans, I'm very satisfied with one big part of this deal. We will get to that in the 9 o'clock hour, and that is coming up next.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.